your call, but if you'd leave your name and number, I would love to call you back just as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and a couple pieces of information from yesterday, something happened that I've taken very seriously that I want to get to, I'll give you that in a moment. But first, I have this issue with names. I've always had this issue of names. But I expressed it again when yesterday I couldn't think of Anthony Sutton. He's an author. I've seen several interviews of him. His books are available for download without charge because he died many years ago. But I've seen several interviews with him. The ones that were pertinent from yesterday's discussion was Wall Street, the Bolshevik Revolution, which I've heard in interview with him about the book, where he discusses the banking community's part in the Bolshevik Revolution, which gave us the Soviet Union, and also Wall Street and the rise of Hitler, because somebody, I can't think of it right now. Typical, can't think of it right. Somebody said. History is an amazing thing if only it was true, or something of that nature. One of the problems with studying history as studying current events, there's a conflict. So it's a lot of the things that we know about World War II, things that I was taught, things that I, probably some of the things I proclaimed, find out that there are competing narratives, shall we say. He also did, I saw an interview, an introduction to the Order of Skull and Bones, which I do think is important because Skull and Bones is, I think, from what I've heard, considered the dominant of these fraternities. There are others similar to it, but don't have the stature. And kind of considered secondary. And what do these things produce? It is, and I wasn't going to get in this, but it is the idea of, I need to get you into a collective, and I have to have to know your part. This is the Freemasons, Masonic Lodge. They have the various levels. And you strive to make particular commitments and so forth to progress within the organization, and including some commitments not to to work with those you're involved with, and there's some one of the you commit to do something vile to yourself, or be willing to be torn limb from limb, or whatever it is, if you go against them. I mean, so we see these things and we kind of laugh it off. I mean, but it is really part of their commitment, especially as you move up the ladder, because in an institution you want to make sure the people that you work with you can trust. So you do that by finding ways where they can demonstrate that trust. And some of the things that are described that Skull and Bones does in order to show you're part of that is rather disgusting. So in order to get that rite of passage, you must do these things. And of course, what is it? Is it Yale? They have their building there with no windows. And apparently a lot of the things that are happening in that building are not family friendly. So you have that technique, which shows that you're part of the club. And of course, I've mentioned the issue with Kerry and Bush in the presidential election, because they're both members of Skull and Bones. And that's why you didn't have that forceful reaction from Kerry about losing the election or having the election stolen from him. But anyway, and of course, the other version of that is epitomized by Epstein Ghislaine Maxwell, where we get you in by having something to hold over you. We give you some sexually deviant things to do, give you a good time, bring you to what's called Pedophile Island, and do all sorts of stuff and have a lot of fun, and we have everything on video. We own you. So that is the, you know, the other way of the same thing. But anyway, but is Anthony Sutton, I highly recommend Random. Anyway, very good stuff. The other thing I mentioned was that press briefing, and it was the U.S. State Department. The spokesman is Ned Price, and the reporter is a guy named Matt Lee. And they went at it, and and I'll give you two links. One is C-SPAN's link. The advantage with that is you also have the transcript. But the other was a link I found from RT, which is the same video, except it also showed the C-SPAN one. When I looked at it, it only showed Ned Price, the State Department spokesman. The RT video went back and forth. So when Matt Lee, spoke, you saw him. And I've seen the two of them spar before. Matt Lee seems to be one of these aggressive reporters. it was interesting. But the thing that is so important about that particular event is you saw a clear example of, they said, "We said so, therefore it's fact." They're claiming to be the authority. And because they claim to be the authority, what they say is fact. You know, it is, you know, again, the analogy I gave is the CDC or the World Health Organization tells you, oh, scary, scary pandemic. It's causing all sorts of grief, but we don't have any evidence for it. You know, wear a mask. We don't have any evidence for it, but wear a mask. You know, of course, you know, it was, the thing that's pointed out is that early on Fauci said masks were useless, then apparently he got on the board and said, oh yeah, wear a mask. because you know, once the narrative is generated, everybody is in lockstep. And anybody who contradicts the narrative is silenced. I mean, the number of people who've been silenced is amazing. I did also see another video that I did find interesting, because I do wonder about my own family, where it talked about, you know, inflation is at a record high, well, highest in like 40 years or whatever. And a big part of it is, well, obviously fuel prices, but food prices. And part of the fuel food prices is because of cost of fuel. But what I found so fascinating is they looked. One reporter saw, they broke down what part of food prices have gone up. The number one thing is sugar. It doesn't matter to me at all. And the second thing was processed food. Processed food, you know, because, you know, it's made in a factory. Doesn't impact me at all. And the other thing was mentioned was things based on fertilizer, because fertilizer is based on petrochemicals, much of it. And again, not the stuff I get. You know, I get I strive to get organic fruits and vegetables and grass-fed beef. So it's kind of like grass-fed and finished beef. And I find it fascinating. So if you're eating junk, your food prices went up a bunch. Things that have not gone up as much, a lot of the stuff I get, been no change. Some, there's been a slight increase, but not as big of a deal as, you know, sugar, which I found interesting. One other thing before I get into Job is obviously there's a whole bunch of really, really amazing stuff happening in, not necessarily in what's happening there, but in the way it's reported about what's happening in the Donbass region, I find extremely interesting. And it's because Donbass is the region, and there are two particular areas that are separate, why they're slightly different for, you know, culturally, whatever. One is Donetsk, and the other is Luhansk. and how good my pronunciation is, I don't know. But both of them independently declared, or both of, yes, declared their own independence from Ukraine, because they're simply, you know, there's no relation. It's kind of like it's kind of like the difference between California and Texas. I mean, why are they in the same country? But you know, and again, they're far more culturally Russian because that's their more common language, and as opposed to the Ukrainian language in the rest of the country. So the Donbass region and Crimea are both predominantly Russian, and that's why Crimea voted to remove itself, and so now has the Donbass region. Well, they did that in 2014 or whatever, and now it's recognized by Russia, which opened the door to, they say, please help us, and while you're an independent country, we will. And so that's not an invasion. You know, it's again like the obvious example of Syria. When U.S. forces go in there into Syria, that was an invasion. We weren't requested. When the Russian forces have gone into Syria and they're there today, they're invited. Syria has Russian forces and they have Iranian forces, invited. Whereas there's also about 2,000 U.S. troops in Syria, they're invaders. It is that simple. But anyway, the thing that I saw that I found so fascinating is because within Ukraine, whether it's the Donbass or the rest of Ukraine, it is predominantly Christian. The affiliation, apparently, the claims are extremely high. But of course, this is Eastern Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, Greek Orthodox, whatever. It's the Orthodox Church, and there is reasonable argument is they're more ceremonial oriented rather than ceremony is a big deal as opposed to other aspects of it. So you know, it's just like I really wonder if the American Church or a Christian community is more of, well, if it's convenient, I will be, if it works to my advantage. And that's why we have such a small percentage within the U.S. who actually make the claim. You know, the claim and reality, again, are two different things. And I wonder there, because it's more culturally the norm, and because it's the ceremonial idea, that the participation is higher. Of course, the question is, from the Lord's perspective, you know, I don't know. You have no idea. I have really no idea, you know. Because it's so much more culturally there, and there is that bond. So when people, like I say, it's 50,000 plus from the Donbass region have gone into Russia, because their new countries are being bombed by Ukraine. So they go in, and the Russian government has provided, you know, food, shelter, and so forth. But not only the Russian government. Apparently, there's a huge number of people, families, opening in their homes and say, come, we'll host a few people in our home. You know, they can't host 1,000, but they, you know, because obviously they have. I've seen some like gymnasium kind of thing where they turned it into and to hold 1,000 people for a short period of time because that's not comfortable. But some people have opened their homes, and apparently this has been done before. I find that a remarkable model, and something that is worthy of a lot of respect, because it's one thing to say the government should. It's another thing to say, I will. It's a big deal. It's a really big deal. I think it's a great, great example. But let's go to the book of Job. And there's a reason for this, because I went into this a bit today. may be familiar with, you know, I hope you're familiar with the Book of Job. You know, he has the, you know, he's well off. You know, arguably this is the oldest book of the Bible, even though it's not the first one there. It apparently is written before Genesis, even though it talks about a period after Genesis, which again shows the sovereignty of God and the fact, but that's another issue. But then, of course, you know, we get introduced to Job, we get the Satan asked to test him and so forth. He has his great tragedy. One of the verses that I've grabbed on for decades that I really find an important verse. Verse 21 of first chapter. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've grabbed onto that verse for a long, long time. And it's hit home in a very deep way, obviously, because the Lord gave. Job had 7 sons and 3 daughters. I have 5 daughters and 3 sons. 4 sons. I have 5 daughters and 4 sons. So he has 10 kids. I have 9. Walking the earth. I state that because obviously we've had some that didn't make it to a normal birth. But so we have that story, and the thing that I was thinking about this morning. Well, let me give you one other thing, because the other thing that I found so fascinating, and when I read it from the LSV, yeah, I think it clarified some things. Job 42, the last chapter, and Job answers Yahweh and says, "You have known that for all things you are able, and no purpose is withheld from you. You said, 'Who is this hiding counsel without knowledge?' Therefore, I have declared and do not understand. Too wonderful for me, I do not know. Please hear and speak. You said, 'I ask you,' and you caused me to know. By hearing of the ear, I hear you, and now my eye has seen you. Therefore, I loathe it, and I have sighed on dust and ashes." I read the LSV, but let me give you the ESV since it's clearer. Then Job answered the Lord and said, "I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." You know, he's acknowledging God is God. He is in 100% control. "Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, and things too wonderful for me, which I did not know." It's interesting that my friend Chris and I, we've discussed the idea of things too wonderful for me, because it is very much you see this idea in Psalms. It's you know, there are things above us that it's kind of like. But in the ESV, it says, "Hear and I will speak, I will question you, and you will make it known to me." That was unclear to me. "Hear and I will speak, and I will question you, and make known to me." Because that's what God says a few chapter or so before. And so when Job says this, it's unclear. And when I try to look at the language, the reference to in some depth, it's still unclear. But the, you know, because again, especially, you know, in the Hebrew, I have no idea. But the LSV verse 4, "Please hear, and I speak. You said." So that's added in. Is it added in because that fits the structure of the Hebrew? I don't know. "I ask you, and you cause me to know." So Job is doing the asking, and the Lord is causing Job to know. You said. So the Lord is doing the asking and saying, "You, Job, caused me to know." And obviously that was rhetorical when he said it previously. And it matches if you add that "you said" in there. So it's a question I wonder about. But the thing that really I think is important, I heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you, and therefore I despise myself for repentant dust and ashes. But now my eye sees you. Who did he see? God the Father? No. The Holy Spirit? No. Jesus Christ. The oldest book in the Bible, and he sees Jesus Christ. I find that extremely let me just also add, I just got a text from Sharon Leonard. Hi, John. Jim is still at Erlanger, still getting meds for stubborn infection. I know he's in your prayers, and we sure do appreciate it. Thank you. We'll try to be updated. He feel he's going to be there for a while yet. Well, that's a bummer. You know, and I can't go there because it's Chattanooga. When he was here in Cleveland, it was half-hour walk. Bummer. I know that's driving him nuts. But I think Job is a fascinating book because one of the things that's important is you have the very clear stuff where you have Job's comments at the beginning, and of course you have the interaction between the Lord and Satan. And, we see that one context, we see the interaction between Job, his friends, and the Lord, and we say, Job says, shut my mouth, but basically the middle of it is Job and his friends interacting. It is, that part is not a, thus says the Lord. This is a dialogue between people. And you can see, if you look, a whole bunch of the things that are said both by Job and his friends. You see human wisdom in contrast to the wisdom of God. And it really is fascinating to review. But that's not our point before I get too extremely long. But the whole point of this, the reason I thought of this today, the events that we see after Satan is given permission. Remember, Satan is given permission. He didn't have the authority to do it on his own. He was given permission. And he causes this tragedy to fall upon Job in the last part of chapter 1. And my first thought in my mind, my recollection was it was three people that showed up, and as I read it earlier, I was mistaken, it's four. But so, one person says this, another tragedy, and another tragedy, all at once. And one of the thoughts I've had, because I've described this before, especially when you look at, Solomon described as the richest and wisest man basically of all time. We see, the one that really I think is real strong is when Paul says that, I'm going to boast kind of thing, because he talks about the trials he went through, being shipwrecked, being scourged, the 39 lashes, 40 lashes less one, I believe, the various things that he went through, shipwrecked and without food, sleepless nights, all those kind of things. And we look at that and say, that's uncomfortable. And I contend the reason we see that with the various, and of course, like Samson being extremely strong and all these kind of things, we see these things and we see the things that even happened to Job. And we say, that's ridiculous. And I think the reason it's there is that is ridiculous. And we don't have to go through that degree. In the Lord's mercy, he gives us these examples, and what he sets before us in our life is nowhere near those examples. He's showing mercy to us. We go through huge tragedies. Some people are extreme tragedies. But the mercy he shows us and the difficulties he gives us, or the things that we can grab onto to be prideful. We don't compete to what we see in many of the people he describes in the Bible. So when I thought about the events of my day, I thought about that one, two, three, well, four things that happened, you know, because in about 2 hours, I had three things happen today. They weren't the huge tragedies, but it was a reminder to me that things can come all at once, as they have in the past. And I have to keep that attitude of naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Anything I have, any joys, and any tragedies, is done by a sovereign Lord, and a Lord who has demonstrated his love for me. So when good things happen, or difficulties come, blessed be the name of the Lord. What happened? You know, part of the things that I've talked about, I mentioned previously, when I watched, because it really got to me, when I watched the people post our glorious exit from Afghanistan, I watched people standing in line at the bank to get money for hours so they can get food. You know, especially when you're city dwellers, you have to, that's the way you eat. You don't go to the farm, you go to the store. And of course, there's objective behind that, because if you do that, then you can be controlled. But the same thing is happening today in Canada, because there's been an effort to say, okay, you stood publicly against the government. We know who you are, and you're going to pay a price. And they're doing it. There has been things like the exposure, everyone who contributed money, that information is now public. Canadians and Americans, and probably other places. But because GoFundMe, and they basically stole the money in the first place, like just shy of $10 million. And that was contributed to the efforts. And, GoFundMe is probably, they probably will collapse because of what they did, the way they said, okay, you want to contribute to that? No, we'll send it to groups like Black Lives Matter. I mean, because that's a socialist group, or a Marxist group, by their own definition. So they'll do that. But these people who are striving for freedom, no, you can't. We'll take the money in, but we won't give it to you. But we'll let everybody know who gave money, so you're tagged. Anybody who, they went to seize the vehicles, the trucks especially, which, you know, people's livelihoods. And they did if you look at some of the videos, this was oppressive. You know, the expression jackbooted thugs, that's what you saw. Because I think what happens is when you give a group of people that uniform with the body armor on it and the all the protection to hide their identities, literally to hide their identities, and you give them clubs and tear gas and things of that nature and gas masks so they can, and you give them that power and you tell them, go get them. Some people got really violent. The one thing that has been seen over and over again, whereas they're sitting there on horses, and even the horses have the shields in front of their faces to protect the horses. and one horse trampled over like a 70-year-old woman. And I mean, that became, you know, that was a repeated news item. And several people, because I saw some of the people, you know, they take these clubs and they whack them really hard. This is not a friendly, please move out of the way, but I'm going to hurt you. There's a lot of them. And what is their crime? Again, there is that issue about blocking that bridge, because that was an attack against commerce as opposed to going into Ottawa, where it was to stop the state from saying, I want to inject you with, I want to take away your rights, your freedom, and I want to inject you with gene therapy. I want you to submit. And so a lot of people are paying a heavy price. And besides those kind of things that have been done, the physical injuries, the seizing of assets, the arrests, a whole bunch of people were arrested. And apparently I heard that some people were arrested, taken out of town, and simply dropped to the side of the road. Say, don't come back. Because there was too many of them. But the other thing is, they're seizing bank accounts. And especially like the example of Afghanistan, some people want to eat. I mean, it's a habit I have. I've had it for years. I'm an addict. I eat every day, basically. So they've gone after that. And so in the last few days, I've been thinking about this. Because a few years ago, when I worked with Paul Grignon, the guy had the moneyasdebt.net, because we, you know, in alignment with what he proclaims, the history of the monetary system and how the monetary system has taken over, the fallacy of fiat currencies and so forth. His terms were producer issued credit, and I gave the technical model, Shuffler coin. So we worked together for a few months. Nothing came of it, because it takes motivation, it takes courage to do this, because again, I gave the example of Ithaca Hours, which was probably one of the most successful local currencies, at least domestically, and it was driven by somebody who was motivated, and when he left the scene, it kind of shrunk. There's a whole bunch of people in Canada right now who are motivated. It's coming to the U.S. So I've been wondering, do I try again? You know, my desire show for a book, I can't find somebody to promote it yet, to be the face of it and so forth, to work with me on it. I haven't found anybody because I'm too much of a scary fellow. Why would I be a scary fellow? Well, show for a coin is one reason. Because what that does, again, Bitcoin and the cryptocurrencies or the blockchain-based stuff, cryptocurrency is really a marketing name. It is blockchain-based stuff. The blockchain, which is the rebranded Merkle trees of the 70s, is a Ponzi scheme. And it's something that people make money by the manipulation of money. That's the purpose. It really is. And it sets up, and that's why you have so many promoting it. I can make money by being part of the system. And as the price goes up, I make money. That's the purpose. You get people involved. You get people who are advocates of this so they can make money. Because they don't have a cost. They have only a profit motive. And as I point out, the whole point behind this, the reason the banks say, oh, this is bad, but go ahead and do it. Go ahead, shh, don't say it, but go ahead and do it. The reason that's happening is to get people used to, well, blockchain. cryptocurrencies, as they're termed, or digital currencies, to get people used to and prepared for to embrace the central bank digital currencies that are in the works. And has somebody started, somebody issued? Anyway, doesn't matter. Because the objective there is control. Why do you want people using digital currencies? Because now me, Joe Banker, can decide whether or not you can use money. You know, and of course, see, people argue about, oh, it's the mark of the beast. I'm not going to do this because I don't want to take the mark of the beast. You have a cell phone, you've got the mark of the beast. You've got, you're in.
There was a satire done, because one of the things I've done as I'm working on the show for our Nexus technology, I've been trying to put things like the photos, family photos, obviously in the family site itself, but I wanted to be able to get things where you can find them. You know, so I have some things like, for example, collateral murders on Kozlowska.org, because it's the idea of I want to be able to get things that could be taken off. And I've taken some, I have an area now of satire. I like satire. And one of the things on there, there's a group called Joy Camp that hardly do anything anymore. But several years ago, they did the iPhone 5 NSA, because it was 5S or whatever. They did a spoof commercial. It was excellent. Really was excellent. Because one of the lines there, if I haven't recall correctly, and I'll give you the link because it's on Kozlowska.org, is, I have the mark of the beast, but it doesn't have me. The way that was delivered was interesting. You got a cell phone. That's the mark of the beast in a very real sense, in the sense that it is the tool that will be used to keep you from buying or selling. And because, again, as I point out, in order to commit genocide, you have to get people not to say, oh, I'm going to defend from this, but I want this. So the vaccine, if you get a vaccine that will kill people 3 years from now, you get a whole lot of people in. And, you know, you've done the job because they're toast. And I think, you know, this will become apparent in years to come. And I won't say you heard it here first, because a lot of people are pointing this out. But of course, they're silenced. But anyway, I recommend that commercial and whatnot. But the point is, Shofar Coin allows for the idea of a local community to have their own financial system, like the Ithaca Hours. And unlike blockchain, there's no records. So it is like coin. So it is a big deal, like physical coin. It is a big deal in that respect. Because if I do a transaction, and unless both parties agree to it, you know, by offering a different form of receipt or something of that nature, there's no record of what happened. So, you know, if somebody asks you for a dollar and you hand them a dollar bill, there's no record that it happens. If somebody asks you for a dollar and you give it via your smartphone, you know, whether it's cryptocurrencies or the central bank digital currencies or you know, a PayPal transfer or whatever, there's a record of it. With Shofar Coin, it is digital, completely anonymous. Because unless all parties agree, the person issuing the money and the person receiving the money there is no logical connection. And this, where the coin is issued and extinguished, it has no, you know, there is the communications, but there's no identification. And it's not simply because it's not done or by policy, it's by technology. It's not possible to know. It's not a policy that can change. It's a technology that prevents you from knowing. If you, that sinks in, that should scare the living daylights out of you if your trust is in the state. Because anyone who goes after that will be like the people involved with the Canadian truckers. The state will come after you. Some people have pointed this out to me, and obviously I'm quite aware of it. But then today happened. And it just gave me pause to think. My Monday payment, weekly payment, didn't come until today. The bank blocked it. It's kind of like, there's a problem here. And so that's directly financial. The other thing is, I got an email from a friend, Daniel New. You know, the dad of Michael New, who I've talked about. You know, and actually, if you go to Kozlowski.org, the stuff button, you'll see there's the story of Michael New. It's there too. That's videos there. And the ballad to Michael New, that's also there too. Which, you know, interesting. He sent me an email. Well, at least, but he sent me an email in response to an interaction I had with him 2 years ago. And that email came back again today with some additions, including a link. And all the links that I had in there were removed. So I was wondering, what is this? I went and took the link, went to a remote machine that if it gets corrupted, it gets corrupted. I don't care. It's a gas pump machine that's in the lab. So I figured if this is a virus, if it's, and it didn't work. So, but I got the file that way to see what it was, to see if there was a possibility it was indeed something readable, but it's not. It clearly was some kind of attempt to put a virus to me. And it did not come from Daniel New. It came from somebody else. But it was identified as Daniel New at a different email address. And now the question is, somebody got this email from 2 years ago, did a slight modification to it, dropped out the links, which is really odd, possibly in order to reduce the possibility that a virus checker will say, oh, there's a link, stop this as spam or something of the nature, like my emails to Jim Cross that are being blocked as spam. So that happened today, and I'm wondering about the timing. And I go out to put my card to Erica Lee this time in the mailbox. And I got a letter from the IRS, which is a minor thing, but it was not a normal thing. So, you know, three things happened in basically about 2 hours. And that's what brought me, reminded me of the book of Job. But again, these were relatively minor. The letter from the IRS was just simply in the same theme. The potential virus, but see, that was done by infiltration. The question is was Daniel New's machine infiltrated in order to get that? Was mine? Or was it, you know, a third party? Because obviously people are breaking into other machines. And is it generic or is it targeted? That added with, it took a long time because you waited on hold for like 30 minutes to get on the bank. Fortunately, I talked with a very pleasant lady. We had some laughs. That was helpful. But the implication is there must have been a glitch or something, because there is no reason that your account should be blocked. So the block was removed, and I did get my funds a few hours later. But it was a reminder. So the question is, and I've been dwelling on this, and of course even had a dialogue on it, three things within a couple hours, somewhat related. Is it random chance? Or is it targeted? Even if it is all random chance, if I promote Chauffeur Coin, the targeting will come. I mean, I have blatant evidence, because when I promoted Matryoshka, the head of Tor attacked me. So will this happen again? The question is now the time to say, not yet? Is this a distraction from something like Chauffeur Book or something else? Or is this the time? Is this the opportunity? Is this the window of opportunity to be the watchman, the Skopos from Ezekiel? And is this the time to maybe find that person who has the courage and love to say, yes, I'll be the driver of this? Because otherwise, a whole bunch of people that I know might not eat. This is a rather big question. And I don't know. But if I do this, if I try again with Chauffeur Coin, it has to be wholehearted. And the Lord, I pray, will give me that connection. There's an opportunity, there's a window of opportunity because of what's happened in Canada and what will happen in the U.S. I mean, we have the truck convoy has started. They're supposed to be in Washington, D.C. at March 1st, whatever. I thought it was fascinating, the Babylon Bee, their ad, U.S. Freedom Convoy ends after just 3 miles due to price of gas. Yeah, humorous moment, but they're on the way. They're on the way. And I really wonder, is now the time? With the understanding, just as the hints of today were, like the previous example, the Tor example with Matryoshka, I was targeted. If what happened today was coincidence, it's reasonable. It's a reasonable possibility, just coincidence, just interesting timing. Obviously, the Lord's timing, but still interesting timing. But it opens the door. This is not light duty stuff. You know, you can mess with somebody in minor things. I mean, you can get away with a lot of stuff. You know, pretty big theft. You can, you know, it's easier to, you know, very minor issue to go steal a car or something of that nature, or you know, I mean, that's trivia stuff. You mess with the financial system. Because again, just as I pointed out, the Anthony Sutton and his books, Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, and gives compelling evidence. You know, and Wall Street is a generalization in the sense that it is the financial dynasties that have been behind the Bolshevik Revolution and Adolf Hitler. I mean, they were funded externally. When you play at that level, you don't mess with those people. As I say, Bitcoin works to their advantage. Shofar coin works to their disadvantage. And I point out, there were a lot of other issues, but good evidence, the last straw, with Muammar Gaddafi, who was, again, at the time, far more wealthy than Bill Gates, Elon Musk, and Jeff Bezos. I mean, the three of them combined, actually. He had a lot of money. And it didn't save him because he was trying to make a African currency and pull Africa away from the dominance of the banking system, the central bank, you know, the Bank of International Settlements. He wanted to pull them from that. And again, they were, at the time, the most profitable, the most highest standard of living of any country in Africa. And you had to stop them. You had to destroy that because you don't attack the banks. I'm going to attack the banks. Because I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's in Him I trust. Not the institution of the state, not the institution of the banks, not the institution of the church. My Lord, my Creator. I'm going to make mistakes along the way. I've made a bunch. The one mistake I do not want to make is to be a coward. Because I've read Revelation 21:8. My lady, my wife, I love you.